her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we
see. And huge raspberry.
You heard about it.
Thought I was going to do it a lot longer than that, but...
Ran out of gas, ran out of air.
Oh, that sounds like the Bucks. Ran out of gas. Gabe, I'm so frustrated by this Bucks team right now.
Yep.
Please give me some reason to be optimistic that this Bucks team, now down two games to the Indiana Pacers, can somehow make a series of this when they get back to Pfizer Forum on Friday. Please give me some sort of reason for optimism, reason to believe.
But the best I can do is you got to lose two games to have Bucks in six.
Okay.
It's about the best I can do for you. It's about the best I can do.
It's not great, Chew.
Since they won the championship, have they even advanced to the second round?
Yeah, the second year they played the Celtics, were up 10 without Chris in Game 6, lost that one, and then Grant Williams went crazy in Game 7.
But all the other ones were?
Well, the last 2 years, yes.
First round exit.
Mm-hmm. Against the Pacers, against the Heat. This could be the third in a row.
I mean, do we start talking about what to do with this roster?
Oh, can we talk about what to do with the rotations?
That would be the first step.
We're not blaming Doc.
Why are we not blaming Doc?
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think because we can blame Doc, him with what he's got.
Doc can't switch on an easy switch to cover a defender a la Kyle Kuzman, who you were just talking about. That's not his fault.
No, that's not his fault, but, I mean, playing Kyle Kuzman as much as he does might be his fault. Kyle Kuzma being on the floor in that situation might be his fault.
He's a little bit enamored by Kyle Kuzma's length, thinking, oh, this should be an asset for us. This should be something that, you know, works in our favor. But I can't even put it all on Kyle Kuzma. Watching that game last night, guys, first of all, it was an ugly start. Second of all, and I said this to you, Gabe, and you told me that the box score doesn't exactly match this perception of me watching the game. But here's what I saw. Everything for the Pacers looked easy. Which, again, the Bucks play a role in because they're not playing great defense. And to the point that Chewy just made, Kyle Kuzma getting confused on some of their defensive situations doesn't help. But the only time it looks easy for the Bucks is when Giannis has the ball at the top of the key and you know he's going downhill. And everybody on the court and everybody in the arena knows he's going downhill. He's going to drive the lane. He's going to try to draw contact. And he's going to, you know, force it at the rim. That's the only time it looks easy for the Milwaukee Bucks. Every other possession looks labored, looks like they're struggling, looks like they're not sure where they're supposed to be, looks like they're not sure, Gabe, what their roles are.
How much of that is because they're down 10? Because I think if the scoreboard went away in quarter, and again, I'm first quarters, just the last two have been terrible, but if you watch that game from the second quarter on, I don't know if you're necessarily going to feel that way, but you feel that way because, like, anytime the Bucks would put together a little 4 or 5 point run, like, the Pacers always had that answer. So it never felt like until the fourth quarter, like, you could actually get that close. Like, it was kind of arm's length. They would cut it to 8, Pacers would push it back up to 14, cut it down to 10, back up to 13. Like, you know, they would always kind of keep them at arm's length. And I think that just grows the frustration because you're down and you're trying to climb that hill because you decided to give up 40 bleeping points in the first quarter again. So I think that kind of plays into it as well because you're down and you're just trying to get some momentum and some run going when really from quarters 2 through 4, it's just a back and forth game. And the Pacers were able to build that 10-point lead. So it feels like you're just in quicksand and you can't fight your way out.
So, Gabe, what's 10 points in translated to the NFL? 7?
No, quick.
Maybe 6.
Couple stops.
So you just need a defensive stop, right?
And they got them.
How often do we talk?
That was the thing, especially late in the game. They're putting together defensive stops. Pacers are missing. The Bucks are taking the ball back. They're able to capitalize on their opportunities. But to your point, even when they got it within striking distance, did they close it to?
They closed it down to 2.
That's what it was, late. It even then was like, okay, but now you have to take advantage of the situation. And it was like immediately the wheels fell off.
Well, and that's when I was complaining earlier about Kuz getting lost on a switch on the weak side that led to a wide open three that pushed it to five, missed a shot on the down on the way back down, and then they hit a three, pushed it up to eight, and that was basically it.
So when you talk about rotation and you talk about like the guys that Doc is playing, this is where I think people have frustration, Gabe, because there are some guys. I'll throw Ryan Rollins out there, right? Adam Schefter's favorite player on the Milwaukee Bucks, Ryan Rollins. Adam Schefter will join the show in about 20 minutes. Ryan Rollins, does Doc not like him? Does not? What's the relationship there? Why does he not see more minutes?
Well, because, I mean, he started game one because he's the backup point guard. And the problem is he's a backup point guard, but he's learning how to play point guard. So there's not really any minutes for him right now. Now that Dame is back. Because you can't really necessarily trust him because, again, he's a young player learning how to play a position that they eventually want him to play and showed, you know, certainly some great flashes during the regular season. I just don't think that, you know, the minutes that Dame isn't on the floor, they're going to trust Kevin Porter Jr. with those minutes. And it's not like KPJ is playing that many minutes anyway. He's only playing, you know, 15 to 20 on any given night. So if Dame plays 37, there's not a lot of more minutes to go around. The playoffs, Ryan Rollins isn't going to play.
I didn't think Dame would play that much. I mean, Giannis played 40.
Yeah.
Dame played 37.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about what I expected from him. First game back after a month. He looked a little lost a little bit. No?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shot was a little bit off. And again, because it's.
But then he sunk that monster three late in the game, almost from the logo. And I was like, okay, Dame's back.
Still had the seven assists. Yeah, you just. Because I'm sure you, I mean, you could talk about this, Chu. If I mean, you dealt with some injuries. It probably takes you a little bit of time to, even though you're participating in practice and doing all that, finding the flow of the game is another thing you got to figure out.
And I will say that to me, Chu, that's what it was watching the entire Bucks team. It wasn't exclusive to Dame. It's them finding a rhythm, finding a flow. Indiana looks like they have a rhythm, they have a flow from the jump. They're always making that extra pass. They're always finding the open guy. They're hitting the right shot. And then late, of course, they're just bleeding the clock. Right? Deep, deep into the shot clock. Oh, a miss? Oh, an offensive rebound? Oh, why don't you guys take another shot at it? Like, it was so frustrating to watch that. Whereas the Bucks game, and this has always been, at least in the last few years, when I'm watching the game, it feels like they don't know when they're supposed to let Giannis take over. And when, is it just up to Giannis? Giannis just decides on a possession-by-possession basis, am I taking this, or do I need someone else to carry the load on this possession?
Yeah. And again, with Dame being out for a month, that probably doesn't help, right? Because they had a pretty good flow going before Dame got hurt. And the one thing they were focusing on a lot this year is a two-man game between Dame and Giannis, because when they start moving and they're rolling in a good pick-and-roll situation, it becomes so hard to stop because of all the options that Dame presents off the dribble. But yeah, that's all kind of factors in. That's all a part of it. But, yeah, you know, Brook Lopez... They want to switch a little bit more. He's probably not going to be playing as much. My guess is he still starts, but Buzz doesn't play a lot of minutes. Torian Prince, I guess you can maybe try to switch him up and bring him in off the bench, because I would feel better about probably starting Gary Trent Jr. at this point, because he has just played better over the first two games. Torian Prince has been a large non-factor, taking five total shots.
So what is your optimism level now? It feels like this is a foregone conclusion, but I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I don't want to be the person that's over here saying, like, they're outclassed, outmatched, outmanned right now. That's what it feels like watching it. And to your point, did they put up a good fight? Sure, they did. And to get it down to within two, heck, I was happy when it was single digits. I was like, you just got to get it into single digits. If you get it into single digits, it's just a couple of possessions. It's just a couple of defensive stops. And that is how I ran myself through this game until the end when they hit the three late. And I was like, well, that's game. It was like a minute to go. They hit the three.
Yeah, because it was five to eight, and then it goes up to eight. And you're like, okay, well.
Yep.
Now it's three possessions, and there's just not enough time.
Say goodnight, Gracie. I got to be honest. My optimism is not high. They are going to be bounced. That's how I feel in my gut of guts, heart of hearts right now. But if you have some reason where you don't think that is going to be the outcome of this series, let me know. You better bring it, Milwaukee, on Friday. Like, if there's any chance.
But here's the problem.
I thought they were going to bring it. Last
no, 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 well, no, she's talking about the fans. Because the game is at Fiserv on Friday.
Is that crowd going to be affected by the draft at all?
I don't know.
Friday's draft is meh.
Well, but people still want to go up there, Chu. Like, people that, you know, you get two picks versus one. You don't have to go to work or school the next day or take a day off. Like, Friday, I would assume, would be one of the more highly attended days.
We'll I mean, I'm grasping at straws here, gang. Josh, you got.
I mean, the next two games. Then it's plain and simple, Jen. The next two games are must win. You lose either of the next two games, and the series is over. Have to win the next two games, defend home court, and maybe you can find a way to steal game five.
I will tell you that. Speaking of home court, man, if you're watching that game, or either of the games, the first game or the second game of that series, those Pacers fans are legit. They are loud. They are engaged. They are, you know, they're taunting Giannis. They're taunting Bobby. And then the game itself, there's chirping going on between the benches. There's chirping going on between the stars. Like, it has got some energy. It has got some excitement to it. That's for sure.
What did you guys think of the guys in orange in the front row? I thought that was very creative.
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. I said the same thing to Chaser.
It was funny. I had to think about it a little bit. I'm like,
you would.
I'm like, oh, Hunter, shoot. Now I get it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good fan. You know, it's good fan pop.
I don't want to laugh too hard with Bango in the background of Jen's camera view there.
Oh, yeah. Seems like,
poor Bango's, guy. Bango's looking over your shoulder there, Jen.
Don't find it too funny.
What are you laughing at? You like those guys in the Hunter Orange in the front row? I would have liked to have been in Chewie's brain when he first saw it and then going through the process.
What the hell are they wearing orange
still
for? The Pacers wear blue and yellow.
I'm still recovering from power rankings yesterday.
You're recovering.
Ooh.
Now, the audience.
I kind of missed that one. Thanks for the help, Josh.
Josh, why didn't you help him out more?
Already rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, on the Carbless talk and text line. I do blame Doc. He doesn't know how to motivate his players to play defense, and he is stubborn to mix things up. Play Prince, Trent Jr., and even Connaughton. If they lose this series, he's gone. That from Chef Ed, loyal listener.
Contract's kind of hefty. I don't know if the Bucks want to fall into the "we're paying three coaches again" category after, you know, unloading Bud's deal when he decided to sign and go coach the Suns.
I'm just so sick of Bucks head coach puke face, because now it's 3 years running. 3 years running of Bucks head coach puke face on the sideline. Doc Rivers looking like he wanted to puke during game one. And at the end of yesterday's game, he's just staring at the floor, like straight down, just at the floor. Tell you what, but Doc, the answers aren't there. There's no answers there. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to get to some NFL draft content. And, of course, Adam Schefter joining us in just a few minutes. Stick around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a roll.
Need a new vehicle? Check out Ewald Automotive Group's spring into a new ride sales event. Over 1,500 new and used vehicles. Low price guarantee on new vehicles. You can shop their certified best used cars starting under $9,995. I'm going to be looking into some of this stuff. My lease is coming up with Ewald Automotive. I love my Jeep. May go with the new Jeep. May check out all these different options they have, because, of course, they have options with 10 different locations. Financing for everyone. No payments till summer with approved credit. Now is the time to upgrade with Ewald. It's always friendly people who will treat you right with great selection, low, low prices at those 10 locations. Go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
color
could,
it
like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Right beside me, saying all the things you've never done.
Is that a sausage on the desk, or are you just happy to see us?
Our friends over at Usinger's, Jen. So they heard Chewy earlier this week when the Brewers dropped off hot dogs, which I also found out were not initially meant for us.
Oh, my God.
They were meant for TMJ. They got delivered to us. Yeah, so we just delivered.
Snooze, you lose, finders, keepers, and whatnot.
But our friends over at Usinger's Chew heard you talking about how you love their hot dogs. Oh. So they dropped off a bunch of them for us. So when you make your way back to Wisconsin, we will make sure that there are some left over for you.
There is a hot dog left over for you.
And because there's more packages. This is just one package that we've got multiple up, Jen. You can grab one on your way out up in the refrigerator. Grab some of the Usinger's old-world beef frankfurters.
You know how I cook them, and they're outstanding? The way you cook a brat. The beer boil.
Oh, you do the beer?
With the onion in there.
Okay.
It's legit. Those are the best hot dogs I've ever had in my entire life. Sorry, Fenway Frank, but those are the best.
So there
Wait,
we go. You're,
you
I'm,
never
I'm
had
excited.
Fenway Franks? You ever hear of Fenway Franks?
Well, I'm familiar with Fenway, and I'm familiar with Franks, and I'm assuming this is the hot dog that you get at Fenway Park.
That's correct.
The official hot dog of the Red Sox. Really good, but these are better.
I thought he was going to say of Major League Baseball. The official hot dog of Major League Baseball. Hey, we were just talking a few moments ago about the puke face for the Bucks head coaches. It went from Mike Budenholzer. Now Doc Rivers is showing puke face. For clarification's sake, we're not saying that they have a puke face, like, ew, their face is gross. We're saying that at many times, unfortunately, during their coaching tenure, their face devolves into, I'm going to puke. I don't like what I'm seeing. What am I seeing? There's a helplessness. There's a, this is making me physically ill face that they show, to which Joshy said, well, on your, who's your Mount Rushmore of Milwaukee or Wisconsin coaches puke face? Chew, you got any suggestions? This is, again, coaches who,
no,
when they're not disgusted, because disgust is a whole nother level, but it's just like,
it's almost lost.
When things are going poorly.
No, when I saw it from Doc, and I forget who the Bucks player was, but when he tackled the pacer on the inbound pass, which gave him a free throw,
yeah,
that was the puke face. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
What are we, third graders here? Puke face. Now, I don't like fake puke face. Like, John Gruden's faces were so fake. He's one that looked in the mirror and, how's this? So fake. It's got to be an original puke face.
Clip that.
Am I right?
No, you're 100% right. And I think the reason why the puke face for Doc stood out, because usually when he's exasperated, when things are going wrong, he just like throws his arms up and he's complaining to the officials. But he has like a smile on his face. Like, are you bleeping kidding me? Like, this is what you're doing? So for that shift to happen, that's what I think made it stand out so much last night. Like he couldn't believe that this was happening
Mike
in front of him.
I would put Mike Sherman on the list. I think Mike Sherman had a puke face.
He had like a blank face.
Well, and a lot of these guys do, too, right? Because they always preach to their players, don't get too high, don't get too low, ride the waves, etc. I think Shaka's pretty good at that. You know, you see him on the sideline, even when the team is, you know, down. He's pretty even keel.
Holmgren, you knew when he was mad because his head would turn red like a cartoon. We'd be like, oh boy, this is not good. His
face like,
literally turned red.
I feel he would just jump right to mad chew. You know, like he would he wouldn't have that disgust or the puke face. He would just jump right to the top. But
I mean, he really had the swear jar. He had a swear jar.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And he imposed it on himself. But he could not help himself. That's
so. Was he just depositing half of his paycheck every week?
I don't know. I tell you what, team meetings. I still have nightmares over team meetings. They were the absolute worst because you're just sitting on pins and needles, knowing that you're just gonna get screamed at.
Did I tell you guys the story about Caleb Downs and Nick Saban's swear jar? Did you hear this one?
No.
When I went and did the feature on Caleb Downs, he's a defensive back for Ohio State, Chew, really good player, one of the top players. He'll be one of the top players on the field this upcoming year. But Caleb Downs intentionally would sit next to Nick Saban in the meeting rooms. Now, he claims that it's because he could glean that much more information. Nick Saban, a defensive coach, Saban took a liking to him because he's a hard worker. You know, he likes those people who are internally motivated. So Caleb Downs would sit next to him. But Saban did the swear jar thing. He wanted to stop swearing. So he self-imposed a swear jar. And Caleb Downs would collect the money every time Saban cursed in a meeting. He would sit there, put his hand out. Saban would put the $5 into his hand, put the $10, whatever it was, into Caleb Downs' hand. At the end of the season, Saban said, hey, where the hell's all that money that you collected from the swear jar? Caleb Downs like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He walked with it?
He walked with the cash. He just had his own like NIL stream from Nick Saban.
Is that technically illegal? Taking cash from your coach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably
why Saban had to retire, avoid the scandal.
But I can tell you this, our fine jar, because special teams started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and if you're late, it's a $100 pop. That went into the bounty jar. This whole thing about New Orleans having a bounty was the biggest crock of you-know-what. Every team had a bounty. So that money went into the bounty for the most, for the best hit on special teams for that week. And the players voted on it, and the player that had the most violent hit got the fine money. This stuff's been going on forever.
Well, it's look like, at the time. Gotta go. Adam Schefter coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Always great to touch base with Adam Schefter, and yet somehow elevated this week as he is in the great state of Wisconsin for the NFL draft. Good morning, Adam. How you doing today?
Hello, everybody. Flew into Milwaukee yesterday, drove to Green Bay, and here we are getting ready.
Could stop at my house. I'm right on the way. Straight up 43.
Like you would have been there.
That's a very good point. Excellent point by Gabe. We'll move on. How is it up there? We got boots on the ground. I see a ton of our ESPN folks having dinner, reveling, enjoying. How's everything looking from a infrastructure standpoint?
Oh, I have not been to Lambeau. We'll go there today. We'll see how that goes. But look, the NFL makes these things look really big, seem really big. They are big. And I'm sure it's going to be quite an event here over 3 days that start tomorrow. Like, that's just the way it always is. And every year seems to be bigger and better. And I guarantee you when they have the camera shots on ESPN tomorrow night and people are watching, you're going to be like, whoa, that looks really cool.
Adam, who are the Packers going to take at 23?
I would think that they're going to look at a couple of different positions. I think defensive line. I think wide receiver wouldn't shock me. Could see a guy like Derek Harmon from Oregon. Defensive lineman wouldn't be a shock. We'll see if that winds up panning out. The Mecca Abuka is there. We'll see if that plays out. Be another name that I think would be in consideration. So we'll see how that goes. But I think those would be a couple of names that would be in play.
What do you think is the earliest we see someone trade a draft pick? Whether, you know, obviously trade down, because, I mean, I know the reports are out there, Adam, that 2 and 3 are available, but I have a hard time thinking somebody's actually going to give up enough to have either of those two teams trade out of 2 and 3. Who makes the first big splash move? Because it has been incredibly quiet on that front going into the draft.
Well, Gabe, a couple of things. You know, we're all waiting for moves. We all want the action, and I'm sure there will be some. But I think this is the first time in the common draft era that we're the day before the draft and every single team still holds on to its initial first-round pick. That doesn't happen. So there's already been a tremendous lack of activity. And part of that is because teams don't see quarterbacks that they are willing to move up to go get. And the other thing that I think you have to consider is the fact that the talent in this draft, the strength of this draft, is considered to be in rounds 2, 3, the start of 4. So those are the picks ordinarily when you're moving up. You're trading your 1 and the 2, your 1 and the 2 and the 3. Those are the picks that I think teams don't want to move off of. They want to hold on to those picks. So you have a lack of quarterbacks to move up for. You got teams identifying the Friday night picks as the strength of this draft. And it creates a combination where there haven't been a lot of moves. I'm sure we'll get a couple tomorrow night. I'm sure. But I'm not expecting anything dramatic right now. Famous last words, because all of a sudden then there'll be 7-8 trades.
Adam, we obviously are paying very close attention to the Green Bay Packers, but peripherally I'm paying attention to what the other teams in the division are doing as well. And I heard this morning thoughts about Ashton Jeanty, the dynamic and fabulous running back out of Boise State, potentially being a target of the Chicago Bears. What's the thought on Jeanty? I mean, he's real... He's 5'9", listed as 5'9", but he's bruising, he's strong. Is he the type of guy who can make a difference at the next level? Saquon Barkley obviously did. Is that the general thought surrounding Ashton Jeanty, and should I be worried about him becoming a Chicago Bear?
Well, I would say this, that I think Ben Johnson, the new Bears head coach, is going to want to add some type of offensive weapon. I'm not so sure that Ashton Jeanty will make it past five and the Jacksonville Jaguars. If he makes it past five, yes, he is in play at 10, and yes, I would worry about Ashton Jeanty winding up there. But it's a case where you've got the Bears in a position at number 10 where I think they're going to take an offensive weapon. If it's not Jeanty, it could be Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland or whoever that is that they take there. So, look, I mean, they got the 10th pick. It's going to be used on someone good. Ashton Jeanty is considered to be a blue-chip prospect and person, like the kind of guy you want on your team and in your locker room. And we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, I mean, if he gets past five, and I were a Packer fan, I'd be worried about him going 10.
Adam, does Pittsburgh have to take a quarterback in the first round because Aaron Rodgers is doing his normal dance?
No, I don't think they have to, Chewy. Like, they're going to consider it, and if Shedeur Sanders makes it to 21, which is very possible, I think that that's going to be an organizational decision that they have. And I think the Steelers would like to trade back from 21, which tells you that they're not married to the idea of taking Shedeur at 21 no matter what. It'll depend on who's there, whether there's a running back or a defensive tackle that they also like. Shedeur will be in play at 21. Look, they've got two quarterbacks on the roster right now, Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson. They're going to add two more. I don't know whether that's going to be Aaron Rodgers and or Kirk Cousins. I would think they're going to take a quarterback at some point this week, but let's keep in mind they traded their two to Seattle for DK Metcalf. So if they don't get one in round one, the earliest they're taking one is round three right now. Mm-hmm.
Why do you think there is such a ranging opinion on Shedeur Sanders? Because he's kind of, to me, one of those hinge points of the draft where, well, if he goes in the top 10, that opens up other things for, you know, some other teams. Or you mentioned maybe he ends up falling all the way to 21. Why are the opinions varying on him? Because I feel like when we started the draft process, Adam, like, oh, he's going to go top five easy. And now, who knows, he might even, you know, blast through the first night.
Look, Mel Kiper still has him rated as his top-rated quarterback, and I think there was a year, Mel's very first year for ESPN, he had a quarterback that he had graded as the third prospect in the draft who slid to the second round, and when the draft happened, Mel thought, oh boy, my third-rated player just went in the second round, I may get fired. Well, Boomer Esiason went on to have a pretty good year, a pretty good career for the Cincinnati Bengals, and just because teams are bypassing Shedeur doesn't mean that he's not going to make it at the next level. We just don't know right now. I think teams have found flaws in his game. I think some of the hate that there is out there for Deion Sanders has been transferred onto his son, Shedeur. I think people have found flaws in his game. I think there are teams out there that just generally don't love this quarterback class, that don't think any of these quarterbacks are worthy of being taken in the first. I mean, there's a whole slew of things here that we can go into, right? But the fact of the matter is, that, to me, is the biggest storyline of Thursday night, where Shedeur is going to go. And he can go anywhere from 3 to 21 to the early part of the second round, I think.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he does each and every Wednesday. But, gosh, are we happy to have you headed into the NFL draft in Green Bay tomorrow night. So we have talked about this before. There's always a little bit of subterfuge out there. I'm not saying with you because you've got these great relationships with all these teams, GMs, et cetera, scouts. But when you see reports on various media outlets and they either contradict what you're saying or it's not what you're hearing, do you grin a little bit, Adam? Are you like, oh, this is the thing where teams are starting to put false information out there to throw other teams off the scent so people can't put together their board? It's vertically, right? When Goody was talking about it, they talk about how they put their board together horizontally. That's who they want. But then they try to put it together vertically as well and figure out who the other teams are looking at. Do you see it that way? Do you get a little chuckle out of that?
Well, you know what's funny? Like, this morning I was talking to Peter Schrager. He did his mock draft. And he gave a certain defensive player to a certain team. And he tells me, he goes, oh, the defensive coordinator loves this guy. And I said, well, I spoke to the head coach there. He told me they're not taking that guy. So, you know, it just, there's a lot of ways to get the information. You don't know who's making the final call. By the way, like in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur may feel like he wants a certain guy. And Matt LaFleur could tell you or Chewy or Gabe, I'm going to take this guy, and Goody does something entirely different anyway. So it's very hard to predict how these things are going to go. Sometimes I'll hear something like, I've heard people say, oh, this team likes a tight end. And I'm like, well, that's funny. I spoke to the head coach yesterday, and he said, you know, they're not taking one of these two tight ends. Like, so it just depends on where you're getting the information from. Like, there are a lot of people talking. There's a lot of information coming in. You have to kind of decipher where it's coming from, who said it, how the team operates. You know, again, it's just it's the way it is.
Adam, does Jair get traded during the draft? And if he does not, do they keep him or cut him?
Look, I think when we get to this point, trades with anybody in the draft are possible. Like, I would think that that's a last-ditch effort, right? Like, if the mm-hmm. Packers get through the draft and even, like, the first couple of days next week and no one's trading for the guy in May or June. Like, it's just not happening.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, you might get some movement. But at the very least, Drew, I think you could say that we're kind of at a critical juncture with this and there should be some clarity in the next week, right?
Yeah.
Who's a team that's a wild card in the draft where everybody's kind of waiting on to see what they're going to do to kind of, you know, try to figure out who might be there for when they pick?
Gabe, here's what I would say. You know, wild card. And I got to get going in 2 minutes here. But I would say this. Wild card team, we got five quarterbacks who think that they could go in the top 40 picks. Five quarterbacks. There aren't that many quarterback needy teams willing to spend a top pick. So some of these quarterbacks who we think of as first or second round pick may not go there because – we know the Titans will take Cam Ward, but one of the Giants going QB, one of the Browns going QB, Saints, Steelers don't have a two. There's four and there's five guys. Somebody's going to be sitting there. Maybe a couple of guys are going to be sitting there a little bit longer than we thought that they would be.
Adam, before we let you go, how was your dinner last night? I saw it was Field Yates' birthday. You were looking for places to eat in Green Bay. Looks like you found one. How was it?
We had a nice time. It was great to be with the people. The people have been lovely and looking forward to being here the rest of the week.
Adam Schefter's got to go. He's got to get on. Get up. Get the information out there. Adam, we appreciate you. We'll see you. Okay. We'll be up there.
Good to know where we
have
rank
a great
versus
trip.
Get up.
See everybody.
He's like, bye. And I was like, not clear. I got to go. Adam Schefter is the best. And we will see him up there in Green Bay tomorrow. Tomorrow, Gabe? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. I mean, I'll be up there tomorrow.
Yeah,
are you going to be up there tomorrow?
I got game day tomorrow. Okay. I'll be up there tomorrow.
There
and then
go.
We'll be up there Friday with Adam Schefter and Field Yates as well.
Our conversations each and every week with Adam Schefter, brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thesaurus.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I'm
good
getting
good
at.
Pop. Good pop.
That,
whoa.
I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word
don't
is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe we're just trying.
Have you bopped over to the NFL.com Draft IQ page? Guys like Field Yates on my television right now. Field's going to be on our TV a lot over the next 4 or 5 days. All also, the shows, all the drafting.
Also, Adam Schefter is directly on Get Up 2 as well with him.
Right behind us?
Yes.
Right behind me?
Yes.
Well, if they got Field for the segment, what do they need Adam for?
Thank you. Thank you.
I feel like we got blown off by Adam Schefter. It doesn't sit
although
right.
Adam is doing a blinking thing right now, I think he's Morse coding to us. Sorry I had to leave. Sorry for rushing out. That's what he's doing right now. If you haven't zipped over to the NFL.com's Draft IQ page, it is interesting. And it'll kill an hour or two for you as you wait for the draft to finally get underway tomorrow. There is a pie chart. We love a pie chart here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Always talk about the pie chart of blame and whatnot after a loss. The pie chart, guys, has the Packers. Now, this is all analytics. This is all AI. This is all based on organizational philosophies, team needs, pre-draft interests, you know, the history of an organization, etc. So take that into consideration when I tell you that the Green Bay Packers' probabilities of first position drafted have 38% to defensive line. Now, yeah, again, we had talked about how there was a double dip there at Pottawatomie, right? You could get a tackle and an edge. They wrapped them into the same little thing. Mm-hmm. Joshie was calling it a twofer. Both of those positions would count as defensive line. Maybe Correct. That's part of the reason why it is so lopsided. But after that chew, at 27%, the NFL.com mm-hmm. Draft IQ AI says, guess what position for the Green Bay Packers?
Probably O-line.
Not far off. O-line is 19%. It's not O-line.
Receiver?
Not receiver. No. This is why I thought it was interesting.
Cornerback?
Cornerback. 27% yeah. cornerback for the Green Bay Packers. Gabe, how do you explain that?
Because they haven't taken a wide receiver since 2022. Pretty simple. I think but it's pretty simple math.
But cornerback, is that the Jair thing? Is that the depth of the position?
I think it's a Jair thing. I think it's the Packers have taken a lot of cornerbacks in the first round over the handful of years. They've targeted defense more often than not. I mean, when I say more often than not, like all of the time under Brian Gutekunst, other than last year and Jordan Love, everything else has been defense. And they have brought in some corners. They've been linked to a couple different cornerbacks throughout this process as well. So it's not shocking to me to see defensive line and corner, because everybody thinks that corner is still a need for this team, despite going out and getting one in free agency, despite giving all the money that they did off-season ago, now I'm blanking on the corner that they have.
Hobbs?
No.
Valentine?
No. Who did they just pay last year? Give $15 million
Douglas?
To? No.
Are you talking about the Packers?
Yes.
They have a corner they paid $15 million?
Over 3 years, yes. Wants to be, he was
Nixon,
the kicker.
Sorry.
There we go.
Oh,
thank
Keyshawn
you.
Nixon. That's yeah,
yeah. Dear Lord.
Wow, but that's a really good exercise. That was a really good exercise, gang, in that we haven't wrapped our brains around yet. Keyshawn Nixon, not just being the returner, but being CB1.
When I said Douglas, I thought I was... I
you,
meant
you
Nixon.
Thought you were saying Nixon,
yeah. So I was like, "There's no one left."
In your brain, you said yes. Nixon, despite yes. the words being yes. Douglas.
Correct.
So
like,
according
he's not
to
on the team.
NFL.com's draft IQ,
Rasul hasn't been here for years.
So revealing, by the way. Will Johnson
maybe,
from Michigan.
Maybe he's bump up corner a little bit, huh? In the position yeah. of need.
Jahdae Barron from Texas. That is somebody that has been mocked Green Bay as well. Siobhan, is it Revel, the kid from East Carolina? Mm-hmm. I don't know him very well. I guess I'm going to have to dig into the beast and read on him a little bit. And Max Hairston, who we talked to Field Yates about. Of those four, Joshie, that I just mentioned, who has your eye for cornerback?
Barron, by far. I think he goes earlier than that. But he is a guy who can play multiple positions, is kind of one of those Swiss Army knives. I believe he predominantly played safety at Texas. But he's a physical freak and has ball has everything you need. I have a hard time seeing him at the Packers pick at 23. I think the Packers would be probably thrilled if he was there as an option, just sort of as a guy that they didn't expect to be there. But after that, I have a hard time viewing those other guys you named as true values at 23. When I see those names and those guys come in, I thought the Packers were viewing those as possible trade back options into either late first or early second. Like if that situation presents itself, those guys don't strike me as we're running to the podium at 23 to draft them outside of Barron.
Jahdae Barron, too, just for perspective, was the Jim Thorpe Award winner. He was also a finalist for the Nagurski Trophy and first team all SEC as a defensive yeah. back. Do you like a guy like that?
Why is your favorite thing taking drive-bys at T-Buck? It's literally your favorite thing to do. You got a little grin on your face. I didn't see your face when I said it, but I could hear the grin.
Oh, there was
a
puke face as I saw it.
I could hear the grin of, oh, I'm going to get a pop off here.
Yeah, so was Terrell Buckley, he says.
You know, and me and Angie have classifications. Climbers are the worst. The worst. And he was a climber. But he wouldn't even say anything to the irrelevant people. And a climber is, Gabe, someone comes up to you, hey, Gabe, how you doing? How's your golf game? And then someone bigger time than you walks in and he ditches you and then goes to that. I have no time for people like that. And that's what he was. And that's why he's a douche. But what I don't understand about this NFL Network thing is it's like, did we flop from this being an offensive-driven league to a defensive-driven league? I mean, how on God's green earth can you look at all the lists and the best damn receiver the Packers have is listed at 45? Right?
Yep.
It's listed at 45.
Yep.
I'm like, what are we doing here? What you do not look at a roster, guys, like an EKG. Okay? An EKG, you don't want peaks and valleys. Right? When I played, there were, and you go position by position. There's a peak with the quarterback. Then you go to running backs. There's a little bit of a valley. Go to receiver. I'm talking guys I played with. Little bit of a valley. Tight end, little bit of a valley. O-line, little bit of a dip. This team is like quarterback up, running back up, receiver down, O-line up, D-line down, linebackers up, cornerbacks dip, and then safeties up. You want that thing to look, no, like I said, no peaks and valleys. Like, what the fudge are we doing?
You don't want a flat line on an EKG either. Like, I don't know if that's the.
That's kind of the.
I don't know if that's really what you're looking for. I don't know if that's. I don't know if that was the best analogy. I understand what you're saying. I don't know if you wanted to go to the EKG because again, you don't want a flat line on the EKG.
I made Gabe stop talking because I was like, "Let him cook." Okay, I was like, "Let's just see where
also,
this
is,
goes."
Is the down on the EKG bad?
No, it's just in between.
It's just showing life, right? It's just not
flat
the best analogy.
But we understand your point. Your point is
obviously.
Your point is. When they came out with that list of the Packers' best players, the best they had was that offense. Who was it? I don't even know who it was at this point.
What, Jaden Reed at wide receiver?
Must have been
Jaden
Reed
at 45.
And you're saying, go upgrade something. Go upgrade some sort of skill position.
Chewy, they're not. This isn't. This draft IQ thing over at NFL.com isn't saying, like, oh, here's what the Packers should go after. This is, hey, based on all the information and tendencies that this franchise has made with this guy making, you know, that's what this thing is saying. It is saying, based on the guy making the picks, it is 38% that he drafts defensive line, 27% it's cornerback.
And we've all seen the article talking about Goody's drafts, and they're terrible. They're near the bottom, right?
Yeah, in terms of drafting difference makers, yes.
I just don't understand it. I mean, it's just like, why are we devaluing the receiver position?
I don't think they're devaluing it, Chew. I honestly think that they just don't like some of the guys.
I think it's a weak wide receiver draft, if we're being honest. Look at last year.
Yeah.
Look at the three guys that led that those names. Like, Brian Thomas Jr. was picked at 23. There isn't a guy I would say is as good as Brian Thomas Jr., aside from maybe Travis Hunter. Right, and he's like a top two pick at this point. So, like, I don't think the value is across the board the same, like, as you would expect. And the last thing you want to do is start reaching on guys because you're desperate. That's not the Packers' approach. Could one of those guys end up being, could Golden be that good? Sure. Is he going to be available at 23? It certainly kind of doesn't seem like it, and it doesn't seem like the Packers even have that interest of drafting him at 23.
But if there's gush over this in this training camp, I might lose my mind.
Chewy, I got bad news for you.
I might lose my mind.
You know what the gush capital of all NFL is? Training camp for every single team.
I've never seen a more empty threat than I might lose my mind. Brother, that thing's gone.
So I'm a blowhard. So we need to create another category. You got climber, and you're saying blowhard should be. Now, there is some truth to it. I'm not going to lie.
Jeez.
Can you say that on the air?
Was that sitting in the chair? Good grief.
I thought of it on the spot. Pat on the back to me.
Little trigger finger, just waiting for the right time. Just.
Oh, here's a ball near the rim. Let me slam it home.
I did look at the Potawatomi odds. We've been talking about them pretty much this whole process. And I did find it interesting. So defensive lineman and edge for the Packers' first pick is still obviously leading the way at minus 110. Next is cornerback plus 175. And then, interestingly enough, wide receiver is the third option at plus 400. If we remember, I think it was just last week or 2 weeks ago, that number was plus 700.
Yep, somebody's got a bet slip in their purse with a plus 700 on it.
And it has jumped over offensive line at plus 500, which to me is
great. I think offensive line is probably the most disappointing position. So that being a pretty distant fourth, I find interesting. Now, this is obviously, as we know, they're just kind of prognosticating, doing the same thing that the draft IQ is. But to lose, to go from 700 to 400 means there is some reason to believe the Packers might actually end up going with a wide receiver in the first round.
I'm still recovering. Want to see a dead body? We got to take a break on Jen Kamey Chewy. We'll be right back after this.
Transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payments solutions. Our market expertise and managed services streamline your entire payment process seamlessly, integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with our customized payment solutions, all with a team that wants to help you and your business grow. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.